Hello, Lowell. Thank you
It's
so
good
much
to see you again.
Yes. I'm so happy that I can talk to you again. Thank you so much for accepting my invitation for this talk. It is because my followers really like your story about cellos, which I know is only the beginning and is kind of a teaser to all the other teachings that you bring. So I would love to ask you some questions first, maybe about the story itself. I have a couple of questions directly from my followers, and then we can talk about whatever is right. What do you think?
Well, what listeners didn't get to hear is all the stuff that happened in the green room for 20 minutes before we began. And there was a lot of content there, and it's important, but that would be for people who are a little further down their advanced on their journey. And we'll get to that for sure. But there has been almost a renewed interest in Lemurians, Telos, Inner Earth, and since an episode I did with Ruben Langdon that's been on Gaia for well over a year now. I think it was actually July of 2022 when it was released. For some reason, it was the feature this like a few weeks ago, and every day I've been hearing from someone new, and more often than not, they've been in Europe or the UK or Australia. So it's interesting to see how seeds that got planted long ago finally begin to blossom in other areas, and they're triggered by the same things that triggered us. The Lemurians and Inner Earth is a hot button.
Yes, I was really kind of surprised how people love it and how they resonate with it. Even though it's in a sense in the other side of the world in America, but people really feel the Lemurian culture and the inner earth itself. The topic really rises up, and I'm so happy that we can talk about it.
I could spend a lot of time explaining that, although we associate the Lemurians in Telos under Mount Shasta in California in North America, there are Lemurians all over the planet, all over the planet. Some in higher dimensions, similar to Telos, other outcroppings that they've, just planted along the way, as well as Atlantean cultures. They're still very much here on the planet. I want to bring to people's awareness that it Mount Shasta is not the only place where Lemurian energies exist. And my trip and time spent here in Arizona brought into greater focus the remains of really the landmass parts of Lemuria that had existed before the destruction and the sinking of the rest of it. So rather than thinking that Mount Shasta was the only enclave of Lemurians, you need to think more like the whole western part of the North America, parts of Central America. This was all Lemurian property earlier. And so this spot that I'm out just outside Sedona with some elevated energies, I know now one of the reasons I came was to validate that energy. And when I got here, I sensed the same level of Lemurian energy that I experienced on Mount Shasta. And that stuff's palpable.
That's interesting, yeah. And there are also many other underground civilizations around the world that are not less interesting. Yeah, people just can explore. Yeah, so if you agree, I have a couple of questions from people who asked what they're interested in. Those are rather basic questions, but let's go for it, because people some of people are hearing about these things for the first time.
Well, we want to
So
meet them where they are. So,
yeah.
their questions, clearly they have a curiosity and we want to help them along. We had to start with building blocks too to build our level of comprehension. So I'm here to help everybody learn it the same way I did.
Great. So the first and really absolutely basic question is, how come the Telosians or the Lemurians underground didn't help people on surface? Why didn't they show up and teach us, or maybe take some people from the surface underground and lead them to teach then outside? Why are they kind of hidden?
That's a good question. It's certainly one I've heard before. There was a part of the last part of your narrative I want to address first, because you said something, why didn't they take some of them with them? The fact of the matter is they have. A couple years ago, it was reached out by a producer that was coming up with some programming for Discovery Plus. And they wanted to do a program on the people that went missing in Mount Shasta. And he reached out to me to ask me if I'd be interested in commenting. Well, that wasn't really the nature of the narrative that I thought needed to go out in Shasta. It wasn't my experience. So I passed them on to others, but it did make me stop and think. And knowing what I know now about what I went and visited, and the fact that I am certainly not the only one that has. Does it stand to reason that some people decided that they weren't going to come back? Because I can tell you, when I go to higher dimensions, there are times when it's really difficult for me to want to return to this density. And I have to really weigh the reasons why I would come back. Well, I still have a son and family and friends, and I don't think I'm done with my purpose yet. But it's really tempting to go to an environment where all of this third dimensional noise we go through right now. It doesn't exist. So it's very appealing. The reason they haven't come is you have to understand the nature of dimensionality and the vibrations that you, as a sentient being, need to achieve to be able to experience all that. They headed underground to protect themselves from that negative, lower dimensional experience and influence and thinking. They did that intentionally so that their civilizations wouldn't be affected by the duality that we put ourselves through. And now the degrees of, polar opposite ends have reached a point at which, without some type of cosmic reset, we're never going to all kumbaya on any topic that I can think of again. So it was going to take a cosmic reset for all this to fix. And so those of us that understand what's happening understand that's what the shift is. And it's imminent and almost here.
Yes, and also there was maybe kind the law of an intervention. Might it be some part of the terms that are in place, you know, that some civilizations are not allowed to influence the development of humans? Yeah, I think
That's
something
quite
like that is
true.
also in operation.
That would take us down a whole another
Yes,
rabbit
I know.
hole of interactions with higher beings. It's not that they haven't been around us always. They have. They've been making trips in and out of Earth in higher dimensional forms that we are totally oblivious to, and they have for some time now. It's us. It's clueless as to this traffic that's taking place. But once we do understand the nature of dimensions and we can start to reach in and see and experience those things on our own, we can see the reason that this is all being mapped out in front of us is we're part of the evolutionary process too. And Earth, her ascension is assured and separate from all the sentient beings on her. When she shifts into this new form and we're close, the changes that we're being made aware of and that are taking place at cellular levels are preparing us to vibrate at the same level so we can have that experience.
Yeah, so it is then it is even possible, like it is even vibrationally, energetically, physically possible. It's in a very like a practical and pragmatic way. There's no esoteric thing about it, you know. Those are just layers of reality that match or don't match. Yeah.
I was just listening to Bashar, and I hadn't listened to him for a while today, earlier today. And he was talking about that very thing, about the nature of, again, how we manifest the things as a co-creator that we experience here in this earth experiment. Our thoughts, our intents become things. So be mindful of what you're putting out to the universe, because in the universe's love, they're going to send your intent back in abundance. And so, if what you're putting out there is talking about abductions and secret space programs and the density that that sticks you in, give some thought to why. Now, if you want to, I'm not suggesting that those things didn't happen, because they did. And to the people they happened to, it was very real. It's good for us to know that, but moving forward, I'm solution oriented. Is me focusing my time and attention on that going to be beneficial for me or for the collective in the long run? In my mind, it's not. But I see that clearly. Does it mean that there aren't instances that come along and don't trigger the third dimensional reflex within me? Of course they do. I'm a human being and I see things exactly the same way you do. But I absolutely see things from a higher perspective, knowing I'm connected to everything else and that the rest of it is just this crazy illusion. But the illusion's just about over. We weren't trained, really taught about the nature of who we are in the cosmos and what that interaction is like. But once you grab a hold of that concept, you can begin to understand greater the things I'm talking about.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so let's jump to another question. People were asking about the relationship of Lemurians with water and whether there is some body of water in Telos.
There are multiple bodies of water in Telos. You're going to have to let your mind be open. And I heard Bashar made mention to this too, and he said that miracles are really a part of our everyday life. We just don't focus our attention on what they are and call them for that. He was talking about the nature of a dimensionality and understanding those concepts. So Telos has wonderful wooded park areas with huge, vast water sources, animals, plants, and fauna that have not seen the surface in a long time, if ever, waiting for the time that the surface vibration matches the environment that they're already in so that they can also experience that. But we have to, first of all, develop an awareness of these levels of higher interactions. And your intuition will let you know about that if you're paying attention. Well, let's go on to the next question, because I can go off on any one of these topics for a long time.
Yeah, so water itself is a very wide and beautiful topic, but yeah, it will be for an hour. Yeah, and the third question was about even though it was not you who was mentioning it, but Sharula in her testimony mentioned some organic computer that is in Telos that is kind of facilitating the like the balance. And it teaches Telosians some spiritual qualities. So the question is if you know something about it and why do they need it?
That is an organic multi-tracking, I think is the way Sharula Dux explained it to us, a multi-tracking computer. that monitors sentient life and is there to assist in its evolution, not to define its lessons. So she even went on to explain that the nature of these, and they're, if you can understand, they're actually like amino acid based. They're not plugged into the wall with electricity. This is a sentient form of life. It's fed through Akashic records, of course. It's a storehouse for that information. But you have to understand that that's also a beacon to everything else cosmically. As we rise our vacations, vibrations, we get to the point where we are at the same level as this information that we wish to access again. And the surprising part is you gain all kinds of wisdom. Some of it was wisdom in your past lives you contributed. And it's kind of amazing to me the things that I've learned in other lives. That's profound to me here. I had to, when they came into my awareness, I wrote them down because they were so profound, but they weren't anything that was I had learned in school or church or any place else. Somehow these elevated thoughts about humanity, they made perfect sense from a love, unity, and compassion standpoint. And that's how I always had seen people. I certainly lived the positive and negative aspects of my journey, but I didn't know what any of that was about later. Well, yes, in your incarnations, and you, Lowell, know that you've had many of them before, you've learned lessons you've just stored away. But as we spend time here in these physical vessels on the planet, we're here to help spirit learn more about itself. That's the evolution process. I agree to a soul contract, and within this contract, these are the lessons I'm willing to learn on my journey. They're not like anybody else's. No one else was assigned these. I actually chose them. And so now, in order for me to be of greatest benefit to helping spirit know more about itself, because I'm just a piece of spirit, I'm going to learn the good stuff and I'm going to learn the bad stuff so I understand the context between the two of them. Now, here's where humanity always gets stumbled, is they assume all the bad stuff and the mistakes, they don't see those as the lessons that we've learned and we've contributed to our own self-growth, much less the collective. Because sooner or later, all of your Akashic records and your experiences all mesh together with the rest of the tribe and the next level. So I realize that. And all the more reason to be mindful about the things you bring into your physicality now.
Yes, because everything is manifesting so quick, and but also every experience is very unique and precious. Yes.
And we want that to be. If we're not really cheering for somebody else to have a unique experience, then we're not allowing them to grow into who they were supposed to be. And I know I've been blessed to spend some one-on-one time with Michaela. And when you get to know people at that level and you see the vibration that she carries, and then what happens when we're collectively together, you have a greater appreciation for people who vibrate at higher levels. And once you have that experience, you don't want to mess with the stuff that got your attention and caused fear and anxiety, because there are people that are examples of what we're stepping into. And you want more of that.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so now there are my questions. I would love to focus a bit on your personal journey, Lowell. because I know that, as I said, the Telos story was only kind of a beginning, and then it was unfolding for you as well. What is the message that you are meant to bring to people? What are the teachings about multidimensionality, about understanding of the process of awakening, about the process that is happening with Earth and with the sun and things that are connected? So I know that it was it might not be easy in the beginning after the Telos experience happened. You maybe needed some time to integrate it and get some courage to even speak about it publicly. So what was it like?
You know, looking back at the experience now, when I began to talk about Telos immediately after it happened, it was too soon for me to begin to start to communicate the story. I had like next to no time to assimilate what really happened. And I can see looking back that I had limitations on my ability to be able to articulate what had happened. And I don't know that till you get down the road and more of it kind of settles in, but that's an assimilation and acclimation process that you don't know about when these things first happened. So when Telos first began, I didn't know it was a multidimensional experience. I didn't categorize it as such. I was certainly aware of changes in energetic conditions, because that's what I really was, in retrospect, being attracted to in Shasta. It wasn't people I was seeking out, although I had made a mindful intention, knowing the story about Guy Ballard and Saint Germain and that exchange back in the 30s, that ascended masters were certainly in the area. And that's what I was opening myself up to, that if it was possible for me to have one of those experiences, here I am, it's just me, you and me, there's nothing to get in our way of having these communications. That was kind of in my mind. But as I started to hike again, I was being drawn to places that energetically felt lighter, for lack of a better way to articulate really what that sensation's like. And the more time I spent there, the more they revealed themselves. And just not that they were there, there was a connection to something higher. As I went back to Shasta to visit these places again, you'll now recognize things I didn't see the first time I was there. And in Shasta especially, it was so, it stuck out like a sore thumb. The place that I like to hike most is from a trailhead known as Old Ski Bowl Trail. But back in the 1990s early, there was an avalanche there that took out, it wasn't just a snow avalanche, it took out trees and land, and it moved everything. When you stand from this perspective and look down in the valley, you can see where this just cut itself through. When you saw these energetic spots and you went back, there was greenery around these areas that didn't exist anymore anywhere. So in retrospect, as I started to sense these things and look at the physicality around them, there almost always was a sign of like rocks that seemed to be circled here with a tree in the middle of it. Like it was almost planted that way, but it couldn't have been planted that way. And there were more and more of those. As time went on and I got more aware of what they were, it was telling me that these places weren't meant to be secret anymore. That the time that people needed to understand where these energetic places were, that time is now. And this is why we spend so much time just bringing to people's attention the level of their own frequency and awareness. Because if it's high enough, you'll experience the same things I did in these energetic areas. And that's kind of what it's been left to me to do next. I have, since the beginning of the year, had some significant downloads that have shown me on the planet where all of these energetic zones exist and to what degree. I've seen and have a command of the seventh dimensional Lemurian grid and the fifth dimensional Atlantean grid, which was different, but that whole infrastructure is still here. Now, why does any of that make any sense? Because as the Earth is moving into her new level of awareness and consciousness, all of this energetic criteria is all coming back into alignment on the planet. We're here to witness it and be part of it, and to help when we go to clear in these areas, to help massage that energy into these areas where it's needed most.
Yes, because some areas are like asleep. Okay, so you said that it is possible for anyone to have experiences like you had, if they are in the vibrational level that is required for that, so that it's even possible to happen.
My quick answer to that is yes.
yes. It is I know that from your teachings and from the things that you shared over time, you talk very much about being in one's own energy, about tending our own flame. It's kind of a legendary quote from you that, which I really like, tend to your own flame. What does it mean?
Well, man, I would love to take credit for that because it's so true. But no, my guides told me that last year. And it certainly sunk into me. One aspect of that has to do with really focusing on yourself, paying attention to your own intuition, and applying self-love. Now, we've heard self-love through all these remedies throughout our lives, and people who are going to teach us how to self-love ourselves. And in the end, the only one that can do that for us is us. Some outside influence is not going to change us. We have to be aware of things that we already carry that we're totally oblivious to. Some of us are here after our initial awakenings to tell you the same phenomena is capable of happening with every human being. We carry the same physicality. What I can do, you can do. Now, if I was to tell you and frame it in as mind over matter, that's one way, maybe from a third dimensional perspective, to talk about it. But there's an elevated part of ourselves that I can tell along the way during my life, the non-awakening years, that there were places in there that I sensed influences from something else that don't know where it came from, but it always led me in a good place. Well, that's intentional. And that is actually physical, palpable help that's around us right now. We can begin on the narrative of all kinds of help that's come from off the planet, but the nature of what my realization was after Telos is as much as we had been focusing on UFOs and that whole phenomenon for decades, no one really seemed to talk about the beings that were in inner Earth and how long they had been there and what they're doing there and how they got there. And once there was an awareness of that, then many more things just made sense. So my focus began more on, I'm okay with UFOs. And since the end of last year, my not just awareness, my contact with them is real. And it happens more often than not. I had always hoped that my experience in, I was told I would be able to return to Telos. That's where my heart was. I wanted to learn more about my Lemurian roots. I wanted to go back to that physical environment I'd been to before. I want to learn more about that. So I'm still interested in pursuing that, but a whole nother bridge to things beyond here has been opened up for me too. So I now where I sense myself is I'm a bridge between inner earth and extraterrestrial things that Dave Wallace has certainly lent me the protocols to understand how to communicate. I have a greater idea of the role I'm supposed to play. And then it was when Dave had suggested, you know, those lenticular clouds that you see over Mount Shasta. And those of us that really understand them for what we believe that they are, those are shrouds just covering activity that's coming and going. But what is that activity coming and going? We have to assume that there are visitors from off planet that are making their way through that particular portal, interacting with who? The people in inner Earth. Of course they are. So when we begin this process of connecting the dots a little more in terms that in our 3D minds, we can kind of grab a hold of the concept. It's a lot more real than we ever gave a credit to. And when I say gave a credit to, that would imply that we had been taught these things along the way, which we had certainly been not.
Yes. And so I will just say for the people that so they will understand, you say that there are special lenticular clouds above Mount Shasta, and then there is the portal going through the axis of Mount Shasta, I suppose. And there's the portal when where the civilizations from elsewhere can enter the Mount Shasta and communicate with the civilization inside. Yeah,
Yes,
and you
the
know,
vibration around there is at a level where that type of interaction can take place. I believe it's, well, it's all got to be tied together. I've concluded that when I'm in Shasta, my physical being is a different being. I elevate to a whole different level of physicality, which you know. You've hiked around some rigorous places, and were you tired the next day? You should have been, but we weren't, were we?
You feel like boosted with energy and capable of everything.
Yes.
Yeah, it is amazing. Okay, Lowell, thank you so much for this interview. Is there anything you would like to elaborate on or to tell to the people as a message for the closing?
I continue to pitch the idea that if you are ready to have contact of your own, whether it's inner earth related and that's what, you know, is driving your interest, or whether it's visitors from off planet, let's just say the table's been set. Energetically, the earth is at a place where the connections between the current dimension we're in and the next one, that's where, if you can understand where the veil is thinning between the two, there's evidence of that around us. More people that just are already vibrating at higher levels are beginning to explain these things. And in my conversations over the last couple of years, you can tell that some of these weren't brand new experiences. Many people had experiences that were so extraordinary. You know, you test drive telling the stories to your family, your close friends, and you get a barometer on whether you think you can tell anybody else. More often than not, these people weren't believed, sometimes ridiculed about the things that they experienced. And so they just shut down. The number of people I've heard that had experiences back in the 70s that are now in a place where they never talked about it because, you know, who do we talk about it with? And what sense did it make? All of it makes sense now. And there are people like them that are having similar experiences that can help us acclimate to these new conditions. When I say your first, it's not obligation, that's not the right word. Your first response of this awareness of things greater than yourself, it's an assimilation process. You didn't have any of this information before. You just have to go on faith and belief in your gut. And if those things resonate, that will grow. Because what's taking place is whatever you want to consider this method of this wisdom being made available to us, whether it's through our own Akashic records that's coming to the surface, or whether it's a trigger we heard from somebody else as in a conversation, this is all taking place right now. And it's doing so because all of sentient life is being affected in this way. Not just on Earth, this is a cosmic thing that's going on and has to do with the evolution of everything. We are here on Earth at a time when she's moving from one dimension to the next. It's cosmically historic. Think of this. We chose to come to be part of this process. And I knew, hold to this day, that it was going to happen within my lifetime. Watch the solar signals. When you're watching these solar flares, CMEs, the solar wind that's coming our way, this is going to be the source of what triggers us next electromagnetically. And when you see all the conditions, we're at a peak period for the sun to have these things happen. We're at a place where the magnetic field around the Earth has deteriorated. It just seems like cosmically, all the conditions have been set for Earth to get her one last jolt and move her into to her next level of consciousness permanently. So why we talk about these things is so that you understand that you're really part of the Earth too. And in order to vibrate with her at her new refreshed level, your being also has to be there too. Anything lower than that can't appreciate or experience anything at that level. And that's why we go to these extremes to try and explain the differences in dimensionality in a place where maybe science has tried to explain it before and has failed to do so adequately.
Oh, yes. I believe our listeners now have very much inspiration to think about, especially those who have never heard about these things. So, thank you so much, Lowell. Thank you for
Well,
sharing.
something tells me we'll follow up on this. We answered some of their first questions. But in my opinion, in my experience, they just spawn the next questions. So when they do, we'll be happy to answer their questions again. When you get another list, we can do this again. But I don't want to rule out if there are those of the that want to ask questions in real time, we can certainly set up a Zoom session where they can be part of it as well. I like those interactions. Okay.
What an idea. Okay. So we are inviting our listeners, if they feel triggered or inspired by what we were talking about today, you can send us your questions, or maybe you can just let us know, and we might make the live call or a Zoom call together. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Lowell. I'll be
My
happy to talk
pleasure.
to you anytime again.
All right. Thanks. Have a good day, honey.
You too.